St. Martin Church. How many come here to hear from God today? How many want to hear from God? How many want something more? And how many today want something more in their life than they had yesterday? How many? How many are willing to try? Thank you, Simone. Look at that. I'm not sure I saw a lot of hands. How many are willing to try? All right, that's all I'm asking. More from God, Miss Pat. God loves you. I mean, anybody needs prayer today, you just go see Miss Pat. She'll pray for you. God loves her prayers. Beautiful day. Starting at 10:30, Dave, it feels like it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody's refreshed and ready to go. Amen? Let's stand up and pray together this morning in this beautiful house. Let me read some words. Let me read some gospel to you. Amen. Let me read the scripture. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. That's in the Psalms. Let me read that again. That's what we're doing this morning. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Psalm 95. It says, so I will bless you as long as I live, Lord. In your name, I will lift up my hands to you. Psalm 67. We're going to read a lot of his word today. We're going to read scripture today. And if you do what God asks you to do, it'll help you have joy, unspeakable joy. Jesus said he came that your joy may be full. Your joy may be full. So there's more things that we need to do to get to that level. So I pray this morning that you have those joyful heart and a joyful hand, and you come with a spirit of thanksgiving and you give him your all, saying, Lord, I want more. If you want more, then you got to be willing to try, and Jesus will bless you. And I want every church member to be blessed, and our friends member and our visitors today to be blessed in this house, and to be moved this morning so that you want to know more about him when you leave. That's the victory in Christ. I pray that for us in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Come on, church.
come up here today. He wanted to be with us. Imagine that. He wanted to be in God's house this morning. And I know that song is really familiar to him because his pastor sings that song. We want you to feel at home this morning. Say hi to Brother Jim, ladies, friends, and brothers.
Hi, Jim.
Be on your best behavior. He's here visiting too. Flo, don't you scare him. Welcome, Jim. Let's put your hand in the hand, everybody. Let's get excited this morning. If you're willing to try, get excited with the Lord. I always say, try something new. When you try something new, you get the joy. Amen? How many people like music? How many people are really? Now, how many people like to dance? So when you dance, are you enjoying music more than the people who are listening to the music? Because you're doing something more. Because you got more involved. Because you got out of your comfort zone and you got on that dance floor and whatever moves you had, you used them, but your joy was full. Amen? God is saying to you this morning, let him give you that joy, but you've got to let go. You've got to work with it. You're clapping and doing extra things like dancing to the music. When you're dancing to the music, all of a sudden you have more fun, more joy, and you want to go out dancing. You don't say, I want to go out and listen to music tonight. I want to go out and dance. Like her, dancing everything. Let's put your hand in the hand.
Your hand in the hand.
I desire then that in every place, how many places? The men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, Lord, I will lift up my hands to you. Hear the voice of my pleas, Lord, for my mercy. When I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands towards your most holy sanctuary. These are all scriptures. These are all things that you do to get closer to who? God. These are little things that you need to try to think about. This is a thinking sermon today, but to think about lifting your hands to God. Because the Bible says that's ways for us to get closer to God. And just like the dancing, it takes a little practice. It takes a little courage. It takes a little self-determination to say, I want to be what the Bible says I need to be. I want to be that child. I want to reach out. I want God to hear me. He loves you. God loves you beyond your own imagination. But the Bible tells us ways to do things where God sees. And it moves the church. It moves people around you. When the joy of the Lord is strong, it moves people sitting. Understand that. It moves other people. You have that power. Give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. I'm asking my wife to sing this song. It's our gospel song. It's How Great Thou Art. So if you want to sing this morning and join us, and we're all awake now. I know, baby, I'm worried about you. Maybe we should add, can I ask you all to stand? Would you stand with us today as we sing our gospel message to the Lord?
Thank you. to love him. And he tells us how to do it. He says, let every breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give God praise this morning.
Let's get crazy. Standing up and praying together. Are we ready? Let's stand one more time, church. I promise I won't make you kneel. I promise. Thank you, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Now you can praise him again, because I want to hear the praise for God this morning. Can we all welcome into our church this morning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Invite him into church. Hallelujah. Invite the angels into our church this morning. That's God waiting. Waiting for an invitation. Hallelujah. I mean, just so let go. When you do things and let go, it just moves you. It changes you. And if you really want to change, God is ready for you. He's ready to see it. Hallelujah. We read, how many ever read about Moses and Abraham? When they prayed to God, they prayed with their hands up because they knew, Lord, here I am, Lord. When you go to the restaurant, you're going, waitress, waitress, what are you doing that for? You want to be seen. God wants to see you. Let's see what Marilyn picked out for us today. You ready? Read with me this morning. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? Saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Hallelujah. Some from Psalm 2, 1 and 7. You're reading the word of God, brothers and sisters. Amen. Thank you. Anybody here ever been in the military? I was not in the military. When you went to boot camp, did you like everything they told you to do? How many times did you say, this is crazy, I ain't doing this, this ain't who I am? Did you ever tell your sergeant, I'm not doing it? It ain't who I am? How many are proud of what you accomplished in the military, even through boot camp? Isn't that something worth to be proud about? Because they changed you. They made you a better man. They gave you direction, and they gave you hope, and they gave you this determination and responsibility. So when you went to works after you got out of the service, you had that, are you ready? Discipline. And it didn't really hurt, amen? That discipline didn't hurt you because you learned how to be strong. So the military changed you. You're no longer the same because what they made you do, amen? And when you, how many have a smartphone here? Dr. Jim Howe? Yeah. When you first look at that thing, you're thinking, this is crazy. I'll never figure this out. But what did you do? You gave it time. You changed your ways. No more dialing for an operator. You're pushing buttons now. Well, how did you get there? You were willing to what? Change. Learn. Amen. Hallelujah. My friends with the bow and arrows, when we started with bow and arrow, my daddy, they called it a recurve. It was just a stick with a string, and you had to shoot it. And then they came out with these wheels and pulleys, and now the modern bow, you just say, shoot. You just put it on the thing and say, shoot. But all you guys who started with them stick bows and stuff, you learned, you progressed. And the more, here's what we're getting at. The more you progressed, are you ready? Who's ready? The more you progressed, the more joy you had doing it. You had more joy. You say, oh, I like the stick bow, but these are really cool. I'm having a lot of fun now. Why are you having fun? Because you what? Hallelujah. I got more. I think we can stop right there because I think you got the idea. God is the same way, brothers and sisters. Same way. You want to, you know, Jesus said, I came for your joy to be full, George Mako, for your joy to be full. You say, well, I don't care. I got the joy I have. That's all the joy I want. That's silly. That's silly. If you want joy to be full, you got to do what Jesus said to do. Just love him. Let go. Release yourself. And you'll be a new person in Christ. You'll still sell it. You'll still tell the same stories. You'll still tell the same jokes. But you'll do it in a way where people want to listen because you have the spirit about you, spirit of kindness, spirit of being loving one another. You see, God is saying to me, tell them what my people, when you pray to God, I know we all have prayers. I know you all pray to God. But sometimes he wants you to do it the way the Bible, the way the scripture tells us to. And when you come to church, just say, Lord, thank you. Father, I love you. I'm telling you right now, military people and music people and dancers, if you start, and I'm not telling you to do it today. I'm not even telling you to do it next week. I'm telling you to do one thing for me. Think about it. Think about all the things in your life that you have changed and the things that you've grown to love because you've changed doing them. Fishing. Bernie, you fish. Remember back in the day you had one little rod, one little hook, and now they got 10,000 lures. Why? And you enjoy it more. Which one am I going to use today? Oh, look at all I got. And your joy because you're willing to try something new. And when your joy, you don't stop. And I'm telling you this morning, I read these scriptures. The scriptures I had about lifting holy hands and having joy in church, there were, are you ready? Hundreds of them I could have choose from. I didn't have time this morning. And thank you for that time this morning. Amen. How about that extra hour? Amen. Hallelujah. Church is no different. You want a church alive? You want people to come in and visit us and see this church is really doing wonderful things for God? Then they got to see your joy. They got to come in and say, there must be a reason I need to be here. Because these people are acting like the Bible. These people are crazy, but they're acting like the Bible. I want that because I want more from God. Because let me tell you something. God can give you more than anybody sitting to your left or your right. Anybody out in the world. Any politician. Anybody that promises you everything in the world. God is the one that can provide it. For your world today. He can provide that peace, that joy. But you got to be willing. Just like my friends with the bow and arrow. Just like my friends with the smartphone. I get teased all the time about my flip-top phone. And they tease me. And I see, but here's my thing. I'm going to hang on to that because in 20 years it's going to be worth $10,000. You got the smartphone. You got this thing. When you bought it, you say, what am I going to do? And you took the time to be proficient with it. Well, when I'm talking to Deacon Jim, Dr. Jim Howe, and I mentioned something about where was Slim Whitman from, and 3 seconds later I got the answer. And Mark Bush said to me, well, that thing is really something. I said, yeah, it's a computer in his hand. But he was willing to try and learn how to use it. So I'm asking you one more time to think about God. Think about this Bible that I know you're all reading now. I know you're all getting in this Bible. And think about what God is saying. This is how you pray. This is how you worship. This is how the church becomes alive. It doesn't become alive with gimmicks. I don't give you anything new because nothing new is necessary except the Word of God. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, help me. Help me to be willing to try. Help me, Lord. I might be shy, like when I first got out and danced. I might be a little embarrassed, might be a little uncomfortable. But the more I started to dance, the more fun I had. My joy was being raised, Lord. When I learned to do things the way the Bible said, my joy started to increase. And then I started to realize, aha, that my joy may be full. When I learned how to play my guitar, it wasn't just enough to play a little acoustic guitar. I wanted electric guitar. And I wanted to play this and that so that my joy may be full. I feel like better. I feel stronger. I feel just excited more. That my joy may be full. So I pray this morning that you understand that God loves you. He loves you. He's not looking at you to do certain things. He's just looking at you to be willing to try. He's looking at you to get out of your comfort zone just a little bit to see how much you really love him. To see if you're willing to do something that you wouldn't have done yesterday because the Word of God says to do it. He's just looking. He loves you. He's not going to love you anymore if you're sitting or standing or what. But he's giving you a way to have more joy. He's giving you a way to let the church that you love have more joy. He's giving you a way to touch people in ways you never thought possible, if only you're willing to try. So I pray this morning you get this little message and you enjoy this and you say to yourself, you know what? It's not who I am. It's not the way I am. But I'm going to be willing to try because God asked me to do it. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Miss Jean, would you sing for us? Thank you. Church says, Amen. Hallelujah. Grant us our peace. Let's give Him praise, church. Come on now. I want to give it. This is a thinking sermon today. Are you all ready to think? You had an extra. Hallelujah. I got some scripture for you. I got some stuff to share with you. Amen. I got some stuff for you to think about because I find it. It says in Hebrews, God, who? Good. At various times and in various ways, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us. Spoken to who? By His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom all He made also made the worlds. Let me read that again. Listen to what it says. Listen to the scripture. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heirs of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Well, what does that mean? And back in the day in the Old Testament, God spoke through prophets. God gave visions and dreams. He spoke to these prophets to tell others. He spoke to them to tell us, to teach us. And in the last days, the days of Jesus, Jesus is talking to who? Us. Jesus is the one talking now. We don't need to hear from a prophet. We don't hear because we have Jesus. We have the Word of God telling us. Understand that. Because there's a lot of things happening in the world where new religions are popping up. Well, God showed me this or God should know. God speaks through this book. If it's not in this book, He didn't tell you. You told yourself. If it's not in this book, you're trying to make up something for yourself. And then when these new things pop up, you all of a sudden you find new rules and new laws and new ideas and changing the Word of God. I don't know about you, but the thing that should scare you the most in life is anybody changing the Word of God, because the truth and the love and the compassion in this book is perfect. We don't need to change it. We need to learn it. And so when God is telling us in that scripture in Hebrews, Hebrews 1:1-2, that in various ways and times He spoke through prophets. And now, Sergio, He's speaking from Jesus to us. He's speaking directly to us. Now, this is wonderful. Listen to this. All scripture, how much scripture? Good. Is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. Scripture, this book is given through the inspiration of who? These people wrote this book inspired by God. God led them to write what they wrote. Jesus led them to write. They all wrote through an inspiration from God. This word is anointed. This word is given, and that's what we believe. That's what the word teaches. All scripture given by inspiration of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes 12:9. I'm going to read. Listen to this. And remember what we just read, because this is all going to come together. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people. I love that. He still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. In other words, the words of the wise, when you're giving somebody scripture, you're kind of goading him, you're leading him, you're pointing him in the right direction. You're not letting him go to the left or the right. It said the words of the wise are like goads. In other words, you're poking them and leading them. And the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. In other words, when you're reading out of the Bible, you're reading from how many shepherds? One shepherd. shepherd. And it leads in. It says this. And this is really interesting. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. And Solomon is telling us that so many people have written so many books. Amen? So many philosophers have written many books. So there's, how many know there's so many books about opinions? You can go to the library and see. You can go to the bookstore and see book after book after book after book about opinions. Amen? And that's what Solomon is saying. It's worrisome. When you start reading all them books, you get tired. Your mind starts to wander. You get away from comfort. You get away from joy. And when you turn to God, he's saying when you read the Word of God, when you let God speak to you, you find peace that you didn't have before. You see, that's the difference. So many opinions out there on life and so many opinions on God. How many understand that to be true? You hear a lot of talk about God and a lot of religions talk about God that have nothing to do with the Bible. They've made new rules. They've made new guidelines that we don't need because we have who? Jesus. Amen? That's what we have. That's who we have. And he's telling us right there. He said, you know, I love that. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is worrisome to the flesh. You can get to where you read so much stuff that you get confused. You read so much that you don't believe, and it just tears at your spirit. And I think that's important when I read that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God may be complete. I want to be complete. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. And I say again, be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the mind and to the body. The inspired word of God, not wise philosophers of any age, but words from Moses and David and Solomon, Peter, Paul, and John. Ecclesiastes 12:12 tires the body, the mind, and consumes the spirit. There is little advantage to reading all those books. Little. That doesn't bless you. When you read God's word, when you understand God loves you, when you start to feel that in your spirit, it blesses you. It blesses those around you. Hallelujah. It does. For building faith, believing God, trusting, teaching others, and leading others. His word is all we need. Could you say that with me? I hope you believe it. But His word is all we need. There's a word called theopneustos. Anybody ever heard theopneustos? It's Greek. It's a word that means divinely inspired. When they wrote it, divinely inspired, theopneustos. Theos means God, and pneo means breathe out. It says that the Bible, that God actually breathed out these words to these people. Thank you, Lord. When you read about where it comes from and you read and understand, theopneustos, Greek, to inspire, divinely inspired, God, and to breathe out. Now, there are books, and you may know this to be true, and in some Bibles, anybody ever notice that there's other books in the Bible? Anybody ever find a book that had different books than the ones, the 66 we have in the Bible? And I've seen that, and they're used, the Apocrypha, that's right, the Apocrypha. They're called the Apocrypha, that's Greek. That's another word, a Greek word, and when you learn it, it's kind of interesting. The word Apocrypha simply means omitted, obscure, hidden. These were hidden, these books were hidden. They don't consider them the inspired word of God, yet they put them in the Bible, and they put them in between the New Testament and the Old Testament. Let me just explain so you don't get confused. They're positioned there, and the problem with some of these books is they're inconsistent, really. Some of these writers actually copied from other, and you know, you write you something real good and you write something and it's similar to the other story, but you wrote it. It's the same thing what they're saying in some of these books from the Apocrypha, which means hidden, that they weren't necessarily considered inspired. That's why they're no longer in our books. What you might find interesting, it just means secretly donated before 1666, all King James Bibles, including the Apocrypha, though separately denoted them as not equal to Scripture proper. And here's something interesting about those books. Jesus, who?
Jesus.
never quoted from them. He never used any of them in his quotes. But these books were considered valuable. And here's interesting about that. Some of the things that they taught and talked about was magic. Now we know that God is not magic. God is not magical. There's no magic in the air. God is God. And Jesus is Jesus. So the fact that they mention magic kind of tells you there's an inconsistency. Some of it, as I told you last week, some of those books talk about worshiping angels. Anybody ever hear that? Some people worship angels. Now, who are angels? They're messengers. From who? For who? For who? Us. God sent them down to talk to us. We don't worship angels. They're messengers from God. And in fact, how to prove that is when you read the book and you read the Old Testament, when they see the angels, you meet them many times, what does the angel tell them? Don't worship me. Simply worship God. You see? Don't take your eyes off of God. Don't take your eyes on an angel. So some of these books teach that. And another thing that they also, some of these books teach, is about praying to saints. You all heard of that. Amen. A lot of us have heard that we pray to saints. We don't pray to saints. Why? Who are the saints? We are. I'm not trying to brag on you, but you're saints. The Bible says we are his saints. We are chosen and he loves us. We are part of his family. We are the saints. So we don't need to talk to saints. But some of these books are talking about that. In the Apocrypha, right, Bernie? Glad to have you back, buddy. Now, here's the thing. Here's another thing about that you might find funny coming from me, but I'm going to tell you. Do not judge anybody who reads those. Do not judge anybody who takes them into their heart, because they are talking about God, after all, you see. And that person that received that might have received something that helped their life. I've had friends say, I pray to saints. I don't mock them. I don't laugh at them. I have a little funny story I tell them once in a while. But I understand that they're searching, Pat. They're searching for God. As long as they're searching for God, sooner or later, God will show them the truth. God will lead them. As long as they're saying, you know, I got to do this. I feel like I want to. And they don't know how to be closer to God. Wouldn't that be sad? These people pray to saints because they don't understand that Jesus is right there waiting. He's your advocate. He's your lawyer. He's the guy sitting right at the right hand of his Father. He's saying, come to me. Here I am. Here I am. Come over here. With his hands raised up, saying, come here. I'll talk to God for you. I'll be your judge. I'll be your advocate. I'll work for you. I'll be your defense. And boy, I'll tell you, you can't have a better defense. But I want you to understand that we don't judge people, especially brothers and sisters who might enjoy that. Because I have brothers and sisters who pray to saints. But I just explained to them, you know, you really don't have to. And it's lack of knowledge is why they do it. They have these books that they read, and I mentioned to you that they don't consider inspired by God, but there's some people who wrote about God, who wrote what Paul had written, maybe wrote what Luke had written, and then added. See, you see, they wrote a little bit that was good, and then they said, well, I'm going to put this here because this sounds good. This thing about magic sounds good. Yeah, people will understand that. Yeah, but God doesn't. It doesn't matter what people accept. It's what God accepts. You see, so we don't worry about magic and we don't worry about spells and things like that because God is greater than all that. That leads you down the wrong path. But the Bible says, hey, this is God's book, his word. And who does he want to talk to? George Mako, believe it or not. Hallelujah. So I would tell you again, never, never judge what is in the heart of another brother or sister. Hallelujah. You know, we're a body. How many know that we're a body? We're all one person and a spirit. We're all one person. And the weakest link is who we got to look to. Whenever church you're in, whatever church, my brother Jim, and the weakest link in that church is where you got to look, because that's where it needs the most help. Can I get an amen? But here's something else that really needs to be said. Those people have a responsibility. Those people that you lift up, those people that they have a responsibility, Sergio, to be stronger, to say, to take that help and do something with it. Not just to come, people say, come every week, oh, I need something, I need this. No, that's not what a church is for. If you're part of the body, you need to help the body. You need to stand up and say, I can do better. I can do better at home. I can do better. I can have a better spirit. I can start with a spirit of joy instead of spirit of depression. I can start with a spirit of compassion. compassion rather than the spirit of what I need today, you see? So if we're all one body and we're helping one another, then we have a responsibility to one another, to the most and to the least, so that the body is stronger. No, amen. We can't stand divided. We can't be divided. We have to help one another. We talk about compassion, and folks are going to come against you because you're Christians. How come you don't have compassion on those people? Say, listen, I have plenty of compassion, but our job, and my job, and this is my opinion now, I'm going to take it for one second. Our job is to help the people right here. Not just the people in this church, but our job is to help those in need right here that we can see, that we can do something with. Not 3,000 miles away, because that's their job in another church and another place, you see. And if we all did that, think about it. If all churches did that, help the people around them, help the homeless around them, help the people that needed feed around them. If they took care of those people, who would be left? Nobody, because we would be taking it. But you know, now they say, oh, you're a Christian, you have to help. That's not what we're called to do. We pray for them, but we can't help everybody. Look around. You see the churches, how in need they are, how much they're taking God out. We need more workers. We need more faith. But understand that God is calling us to be one body, to be strong. And those in the body that need to help need have a responsibility too. Amen? Thank you, Lord, that your joy may be full. So, in Hebrews it says, these last days have spoken by his son. When somebody says they have a new way, say, nope. Nope, God doesn't have a new way anymore. He's got the son. Hallelujah. Who is the son, brothers and sisters? Who is the son? Let me read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's Jesus. Those in darkness did not accept him. They didn't understand him. Jesus is the Word. Who is the Son? He is the Word. Who, it said in the last days he has spoken to us by his Son. God the Father is telling us, the second congregational today, God is speaking to us through his Son. How does he speak through us through his Son? Through the what? The Word. Hallelujah. Because he is the Word. And who is, what is the Word? It's the Bible. He speaks to us, to me and you, through this book. Through his Word. So I would end with this. God, he is waiting. God is waiting to speak to you. I tell you, I challenge you to read this word a little bit. Just read a little bit. Read it in peace. Open up to the Gospel of John. Say, I don't know where to read. I get that. Open up to Gospel of John. Read that. It's so beautiful. Open up to the, you know, to Proverbs. Open up to something really nice that you can feed off of. Something that you understand. And then you'll grow to understand more. But he's waiting to speak to you. Read it in peace. I would tell you to read it in quiet. Read it with joy, enjoying the words. They will speak to you. God will speak to you. That's where we're building a church for God. We're building a family for God. I will tell you again, let go and let God. Try it and grow that your joy may be full. Give him praise, church. I want full joy. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah. You think, Jimmy, you think they bought it?
I want joy. I want you all to have that joy. I don't want you seeing other people with more joy than you. And Mary out there dancing, having joy, and you weren't out there dancing, having joy. Why don't you have joy? And all the things you do, you got a brand new car. You got joy in that car. Do you turn the air conditioner on? You say, yeah. Well, you didn't have one in the old cars. So why turn an air conditioner on, right? You didn't have all these wonderful things in the new car that you had in the old car. So why use them? Well, that's crazy, Pastor, because they're in the car and I could use them and they make me feel better and I get more excited. Well, the Word of God is waiting for you to get excited, and all you got to do is open it up and start it up and start driving it. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him praise, church. I'm on fire today. And this is why we can pray to the Father through the Son for what he did for all of us without any of you asking him to do it. He did it for us, for our salvation, for our forgiveness of sin. And all he asks of you is to do this in remembrance of him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, deacons. I'm going to let you pray. Just pray to God, talk to God. Enjoy God. You know, he's right, Lord. I really can do more with you. I really am. I'm kind of shy. It's not really who I am, but you know, I've done so many things in my life. I've tried new things in my life that wasn't who I was before I tried it. And I liked it. And it was good. And I had joy in doing it. Hallelujah. I bought a smart TV the other day. And I'm enjoying using the smart TV. I don't have to get up and change the channels because it's something new. But with God, I don't know. Lord, somebody might see me stand up. And then what? And God says, well, what if they stand up with you? What if you stand up next week in church and somebody else sees you and says, you know what? Because he stood up, I'm going to stand up. Imagine that. God is saying, wouldn't that be beautiful in my house? What if you started clapping to a song that you never clapped to before and you look around and people are looking at you and somebody behind you starts clapping? You say, hey, look what I started. Look what I did. The pastor didn't do it, I did. The pastor was up there praising him and standing up, but when I stood up, other people stood up too. Oh my God, look at what you have. Look at all this new stuff you have. All these new toys to play with and that Bible to enjoy. Hallelujah. We have all of this because of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So this morning we do this in Jesus' name. But pastor, I've been sinning. I said something I shouldn't have. I had no faith. I wavered. My attitude wasn't right. What do I do, pastor? I'm not ready. I'm not right. I remind you again, you have an advocate with the Father. He's going to go to the Father on your defense, for your behalf, to cleanse you of those sins and those iniquities, to bring you back to being holy and clean so that you can receive God's blessing and God's love. That's what he's sitting there for. And it was through his blood, shedding his blood one time on that cross for all, as he said in Matthew, for the remission of our sins. So now you come to him clean, asking God to forgive you and repenting, saying, Lord, I'm going to try. I want to do more, but thank you, Lord. And he said to do this in remembrance of him. I got it right, guys. Two for two. Somebody does something for you that you didn't expect. How wonderful is that? Somebody blesses you with something you didn't expect. How wonderful is that? Jesus done that for all of us. We didn't expect it. We didn't ask for it. He did it because he loves us. So I don't really know him that well, but I want to know him better. I want to love Jesus more. That's a good start. That's all you got to start with. So I'm curious now. This might really work. It might change my life. That new attitude I have might change my life. That new joy I have might change my life. And if it changes my life, it's going to change my children's life and my grandchildren's life and my friend's life. I want to do that. If I stand up for God, maybe my neighbor will stand up for God. Maybe another friend of mine from another place will stand up for God. Look what I did. I can look at God and say, look, Lord, I did it. Look, they followed me. They followed me to you. And then you tell God that the rest is yours, Lord. Your work. Touch them. Feel them. Feed them, Lord. Lead them. Hallelujah. That's the God of the Bible. Thank you. The things you can do for people in this church today. Unbelievable things you can do if you're willing to try. We ask this. Receive this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I pray that nobody's really stealing that car, Lord. I pray that if they tried, Lord, they fell down, Lord, and they'll never do it again, Lord. We'll bring them in here and we'll pray for them and make them feel like they didn't want to do it in the first place. Give them hope. You want to save somebody? Give them hope. You want to save somebody? Tell them about Jesus. You want to save somebody? Bring them to church. Let them meet the new family. You have a new. How many argue with your family? Anybody here argue with your family? Amen. Everybody in the world has that problem. But God said, I'll give you a new family. And when he gives you that new family, you use that new family to help your other family. See, it's a circle that God provides for us. Hallelujah. Well, we had a blessed day this morning reading the Word of God. We learned that we can do more if we try. We learned that our joy can be full if we try. We understand. Hopefully, I found a way to talk to you in things that you understand with the car, with the bow, with the military, all those things that made you prouder, all those things that made you stronger, gave you more discipline not to be afraid, and now you're going to do it for God. Whatever your mind tells you, whatever you're thinking, you're going to do it for God. You're not going to do it for me. You're going to do it for God. You're going to do it for your brother and your sister in this church, for new people coming to the church. When you stand up, when somebody stands up next week that never stood up before, I'm telling you, somebody else will see it. Maybe they weren't here today, and they'll look and say, and when he stands up, understand what you did for God, what you're doing for God. You're showing the way, lighting the path. We are the light. So we thank you, Lord, for this day. I am humbled as your pastor to bring you the Word of God, and I pray that you received it with joy, that your joy may be full. You want more. I thank you, Lord, for those in attendance, the visitors here today, Lord. I just pray for them and thank them for being here. And now I'm going to ask Mr. George Mako to sing God Bless the United States of America.
Thank you.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home.